Blog Talk Radio.
Seen Big Daddy, listen was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham, Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippy and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of games, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
The sport of kings, better than diamond rings. My goodness, we've had a huge week in football this week. How you doing? My name is Mike, coming at you with CMT Firestorm. Blam! Let's get things on and cracking. Let me introduce my boys. Coming at me from the Lone Star State, we got my boy Big Tex. What's going on, Tex?
What's going on, buddy? Let's get into it, man. We got some stuff this week.
All right. Coming at me from the Windy City, Chi-Town Mike. How's it hanging, Mike?
What's going on, Cali Mike, Tex? Nitty gritty, man. Championship week in college football.
Ain't that true? Coming at us from the stunt capital of the world, the mouth of the South, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Glide Tide, Clausell Mathis. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's good? I'm ready to get into this, man. I just further emphasize, you can pick all you want to. Three national championships in 4 years. I predicted this would happen a few weeks ago. You guys know it. It's on tape. Look it up. And I'm ready to get into it. Let's do it.
Predicted what would happen? What, did something happen?
I predicted that Auburn may beat Alabama. I predicted that.
Yeah.
It's on tape. It's on tape, and y'all guys laughed at me. Tex was about to bet me. He's like, you want to put some money on this?
Clausell did say that a few weeks ago.
And then don't be giving that sandbag an excuse. Don't give that sandbag an excuse like you always like to do.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on, Mike. I've been in a coffin for the past week. You mean to tell me Alabama lost to Auburn?
Yes, they lost to Auburn.
They did?
Yes, they did. You know that. You were watching the sticking games. Stop trying to act like you got amnesia, man. Yeah,
amazing.
They lost. Yeah.
Amazing. My TV and my internet has been broke for the past week, so I wasn't able to watch the game. That's amazing. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I can't believe the new generation Miami lost. The new generation USC lost.
They're better than the Miami of the 80s. This generation of Alabama is better than the Miami of the 80s. I've said that before. I know you guys disagree with me. And better than USC in the 2000s. Yes, this generation was the greatest generation and one of the greatest generations of dynasties in college football history. Yes, Alabama is.
Well, they just now lost to Auburn.
Yes, they lost to Auburn. Yes, they did.
How they lost, man, it was heartbreaking.
Hold on. Let's get into that later. Let's jump into this. I want to talk about an undefeated team. Ohio State Buckeyes. They beat the Michigan Wolverines this past weekend. It was a really close game. Now, like I said, I know a lot of people are going to talk about how close of a game it was. You know, Ohio State should have blew them out to this or that. This is the biggest rivalry in college football. You know, these teams always play each other tough. I mean, you know, Michigan has really been underwhelming this year to the point where it almost cost Brady Hoke his job. But, you know, like I say, Ohio State has been very underwhelming this year, even though they've got, what, I think they got a 24-game winning streak going on. They haven't lost in 2 years. So, you know, like I say, it came down to the last minute. There were a couple of games that did that this past weekend, though. But let's talk about this one. Big Tex, give me your opinion. I know you hate those Buckeyes.
I don't hate them. I don't know. You know, it's always, well, this team went undefeated, and they should be able to play for the national championship. And Ohio State going 11-0, 12-0 is why you need a playoff. You know, you're playing in the sorry Big Ten Conference. You let Buffalo run with you. Michigan is an awful, horrible team with a horrible quarterback playing in a horrible conference along with Northwestern.
Texas putting it all out.
You know, for the Michigan lets the Indiana Hoosiers football team put 47 points on them. And who was that they lost to early in the – who they had no business losing to? Who was that really, really bad loss they had earlier in the year? I forget. Anybody know?
You talking about Michigan?
Yeah.
They did lose to somebody kind of like, wow. They struggled. They still struggled because a couple of things.
I don't know. They lost to I don't know. They were undefeated going through five games. Their first loss was to Penn State in October.
That's the one. That's the one. To Penn State in a rookie quarterback. Wasn't that a home game?
That quarterback's pretty good, though. Hold on. That quarterback's pretty good. No, you got to get it.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
Hackenberg's not horrible. He's not bad.
I agree they should have beat Penn State, but honestly, I think Hackenberg is going to be the number one pick when he comes out. That boy.
If Winston comes out, but Hackenberg's pretty good. I like Hackenberg, but I mean, I take Winston over him. I like Hackenberg too.
Winston might be going to jail tomorrow, so let's reserve.
But Michigan.
I know we're going to talk about that in a minute.
No business losing to Penn State. And you know what? This is the thing. You know, they call me a Big Ten hater. Well, I was wrong about Michigan. You know, I thought Michigan was actually – I thought they had so much upside because of some of the athletes they had. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, he's there.
Okay, yeah, because of some of the athletes they had, I thought they were one player away. And I'm disappointed in them because I was so wrong about them. They just another Big Ten team.
Yep.
Hey, Tex,
I agree with you.
I see they schedule. I was gonna chime in. They barely beat Akron September 14th, 28-24. They lost in quadruple overtime to Penn State 43-40.
I agree with all that, but let's focus more on Ohio State because people are kind of focused on who they've beaten. I mean, you know, like I say, it's only so much you can really control with your schedule. These schedules are set, you know, years in advance. So, I mean, there's only so much you can do with that. So let's focus on Ohio State right now. Well, actually, we're going to focus on them in a little bit. Clavel, did you get to check out the Ohio State-Michigan game?
Yeah, I checked it out. I mean, I understand that Ohio State was running the ball on Michigan, but I still think that Michigan should have at least just tied it and let it and scheme for overtime. You don't just go for it. I mean, I guess I understand. I mean, I would prefer for them to go to just regroup at overtime. I mean, I don't think you should have went for it the win at that situation.
Who was that back in the 80s? Wasn't that Ohio State? Oh, no, that was Nebraska. Who was that who went for two like back in the 80s and they lost to somebody? Was that Nebraska?
Yeah, it was Nebraska. Was but then there was ties. You could tie back then. There was no overtime back in that time frame.
You're right. Okay, yeah. That kind of made more sense back then. Okay. All right.
I was going to say that, man. I don't see the logic of that, man. You go for the tie. I mean, I understand, too, you're at home, but, man, it's a rivalry game. Come on, man. You had a chance to go and tie it up for overtime. That was dumb.
I mean, Michigan, you've had a horrible year. Go and try to win the game.
I can see where they're coming from. They tried to go for the gusto. I mean, really, like I said, one loss or one win wasn't going to do nothing for them. I mean, I can see where Oak was trying to do, this loss. I mean, you look at it like this. A loss would have been almost, I don't want to say expected, but like I say, it's not going to really hurt them. They got a strong recruiting class, even though the one dude said he's going to start looking around at Jabril Peppers. But, think about if they would have won this. That would have been a major boost for them. It doesn't make sense what he did, but I can kind of see. I mean, I look at the plus sides of what would have happened. Hindsight is always 20/20. It had major pluses if they would have got that. They would have got that conversion. Let's go on. Let's move into this Clemson SC game. What is going on there, Clemson? This was a team that people thought was going to beat FSU. This was a team that people thought was going to be in a national championship. Taj Boyd was going to be a contender for the top 10 draft pick. What is going on at Clemson? What do you think, Carvell?
Well, I mean, they're just not as good as we thought they were. I don't know why we're listening to this. They were not as good as we thought they were. I think Florida State broke them in terms of their confidence. They did beat Georgia when Georgia was Georgia. I'll give them that. They beat Georgia when Georgia was Georgia. But I think that when they played Florida State and the best quarterback in the country, let them know who they were, who should be the number one pick in the draft if he came out, I think that broke their confidence pretty much.
My goodness.
But they did resolve back after that game, seeing they beat Maryland 40-27, Virginia 59-10. But like you said, they probably just not as good like everybody thought we were as good. They kind of didn't put it together. And until you got to give South Carolina credit. South Carolina's not. They're not a bad team either.
They're not a scrub. FSU wasn't a scrub. It's not. Clemson ain't horrible. It's just when you have high expectations like that. It's kind of hard to see a team fall like that, Tex, what do you think about it?
Well, I still think Clemson is pretty good. I think, though, but you know what? South Carolina has been real gritty with the way they're going about their business on the field this year, just really, really quiet. Sound on both sides of the ball. They kind of play you straight up, and they just go out there and it's not pretty, and they're kind of like the Stanford of the East Coast, and I think you have to give SC a little bit of credit because these are the kind of wins that they've been pulling out all season long, just very steady. Very, very steady on both sides of the ball, just executing. I think Spurrier has done a good job coaching. The SC, to me, one of the more underrated squads out there. I still do think Clemson is good, though, but, Florida State just kind of, like I've been saying, they kind of put them in Davy Jones' locker, with Jack Sparrow. So, that might play a little bit of a part in it. I mean, they it's like they saw Godzilla or something. So, now they it's just different, They saw something they wasn't expecting when Florida State came through. So that might have taken the sale out of it. But I think we have to give SC some credit, though.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, they grind out wins. I think this just goes to show the importance of that loss to Tennessee for them. It's like that was a killer loss. Yeah, I think without that loss, they could possibly be in the they I'm pretty sure they would be in the third seed above Auburn right now. I think. I mean, they'd be in prime striking position right now to maybe make it to a national championship game if they wouldn't have that loss to Tennessee. That really hurt them, you know. And like I said, that's college football right now until we get this playoff system enacted.
Exactly.
All right, let's jump into what everybody wants to talk about. The big game of this past week, Auburn versus Alabama, the Iron Bowl. And the victor, from what I heard from Clausell, was the Auburn. They beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. I can't believe it. I mean, Auburn, are these are, what do they call them? These are the cardiac kids of this year. I mean, how many wins like this can you have in the last seconds of a game in 1 year? I mean, this is amazing. I mean, I said it when they hired Gus Malzahn, and I believe it was Clausell Mathis who told me I was crazy. Right, Clausell?
A lot of crazy stuff. I'm trying to figure out which one you're talking about.
When they hired Gus Malzahn, I said Auburn is going to start beating Alabama, and you said I was crazy.
You never said Auburn was going to start beating Alabama. You never said that. You just said Auburn's going to be better. Come on, man. Auburn was going to start beating Alabama.
I'm going to start looking it up. I can play the sound, but I'm going to do it next week, though, because I'm going to stop here.
Please do it. I'm waiting.
But anyway, like I said, Alabama has lost. Justice has been served. Unless something amazing happens this weekend in rivalry week with knowing Ohio State, who knows what they might do against Michigan State. And really, like I said, really with the status of Jameis Winston up in here, well, I think even without him, I think FSU is going to beat Duke. But, like I said, unless this championship week, something amazing happens, we are going to have a SEC contender in the champion in the national championship game for the first time in what, damn near seven, eight years. So that's going to be a pretty monumental. I don't know what I can say about this game. I mean, it was cardiac kids. I mean, I didn't think Auburn was going to be able to do it. I knew Gus Malzahn was a good coach. I didn't think that they were going to be, back this quick. I'm still uncertain if they're really even back. I mean, they've had, they're cardiac kids. I mean, I don't know if I can even really say. I mean, I think Alabama's a better team than them. Tell you, I mean, all things be done, even though I'm calling it on Alabama, I still think Alabama's a better team than them. I still think that 99 out of 100, Alabama's going to beat them. I just think that, they had their number. They came down to the last second. Now, we talked about Brady Hoke being arrogant, going for two. I mean, a lot of people are saying it's the same thing about Nick Saban going for that 56-yard field goal. Let me start off with you, Glaudel. This is your team. What'd you think about that game? What'd you think about the decision to go for the field goal? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I thought it was a good decision. I just felt that, what happened was basically the guy kicked the field goal. Everybody on Alabama's team was watching the ball as it was attempting to go through the goalpost, and they were thinking that it went in, because when I was watching the game, I was thinking it was going in too, and the guy caught it in the end zone, and then it just came to Alabama's senses that, hey, we got to cover this guy because he's coming back. And by the time that it came to their senses, it was too late. He was flying across the field, and it was over. But I mean, it was a good win for Auburn. I kind of sensed this was going to happen. I was worried this was going to happen. I kind of sensed it, but as a fan, I didn't like it. But as an analyst, it just further emphasized my prediction, my way to see the future. And I know you're listening, James, and all that. But it's just that Auburn's Auburn's a better, more qualified than Ohio State to make it to the championship game. Let's just get that first and foremost. The SEC is clearly the best conference in the country this year, and I think that Ohio State is not deserving of being in that national championship game. Who have they played? They played a bunch of guys that just want to play to stay in shape. They ain't playing nobody. So, I just think that I hope Michigan State wins. I hope either Auburn or Missouri. I prefer Missouri to win. Maybe Alabama could still be in the mix, possibly. But I just hope that you know, these voters do the right thing and put Auburn ahead of Ohio State, because that's going to be the better matchup.
I'm going to try to be as unbiased as possible. I don't think Auburn's qualified over Ohio State to make it. I would make a case for Alabama being more qualified to make it over Auburn, but I can't put Auburn over Ohio State. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule here. I'm looking at their wins, and besides Texas A&M and this Alabama win, I mean, where's the quality win at? You know, they lost to LSU. You know, they only beat A&M by four. You know, I mean,
at like A&M, they beat them at A&M.
It was at A&M, but I mean, you know, it was like I said, you know, I'm looking at a 7-point win over Washington State. I'm looking at a lot of close games here, and you know, and it's like I said, I mean, you know, they beat Georgia, but I mean, that's not the Georgia we thought they were going to be. I mean, you can make a better case for Alabama to me than Auburn to me is what I'm trying to say. I can't, you know, like I said, I can't see this Auburn team. I couldn't put them over 2 years undefeated Ohio State team.
If they beat Missouri, I have to put them in. That's two top five teams late in 2 weeks.
I mean, this is the SEC, you know, this is one of the bad things about the SEC. Like I say, it's an excellent conference. But when you have two teams like this who made it, like I say, by virtue of, you know, I mean, who is Missouri really beaten to where we're like, okay, wow, Missouri beat them. You know, look at their schedule. Who have they beaten? You know, I mean, who have they beaten? Who? I mean, they beat Florida.
They beat Georgia when Georgia was Georgia. They beat Georgia when Georgia was at the peak.
Yeah, I mean, but Georgia, like that was when Georgia was beginning in their injuries, and look what Georgia has done after that loss.
No, they beat Georgia when Georgia was healthy. No,
Georgia in the third week of October, and after that, Georgia lost to Vanderbilt the next game, you know, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, they killed Georgia's confidence, just like Florida. Where I was trying to explain to you last week.
That's when they were injured, Clause. Oh, come on, dude.
Did they get injured that game?
They lost to South Carolina. They beat Texas A&M, but I mean, you could make a case for me for LSU. Like I say, LSU and Alabama is clearly better than these two other teams. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't know. Like I say, maybe it's just me. Mike, what were your takes?
LSU lost to Georgia.
Alabama, yeah.
I didn't know until afterwards, maybe later on, that Alabama was not going to be able to defend the SEC title. I'm like, wow. I'm just like you said, just wow, just. You know, kudos to Auburn. I mean, they put out a big win, but, you know, I don't know. I guess until everything settled, it was just one of those things. You know, y'all made some valid points on both, but, you know, I guess until when everything is clear with the championships, then we'll see what happens. Let's just say if Auburn loses, then what's that going to happen then? You know, then can Alabama still get a chance?
No, I don't think so. But let me, you know, Clausel, you said something. Okay, let me ask you this question and be truthful. Missouri, okay, let's say there was two more games left and Missouri had to play LSU and Alabama. Are you going to pick Missouri in either one of those games?
Nope. Probably not. I think they could possibly beat LSU. I think Missouri has a chance against LSU. I don't know about that.
Really?
Hold up. Missouri beat Georgia. Missouri beat Georgia on the road.
A battered up Georgia.
They were healthy in the game.
I think that was the first game where Gurley got injured, I believe. They were not healthy, dude. I keep telling you that.
Yeah, I guess, whatever. I thought it was Missouri unhealthy. I thought it was James Franklin that got hurt that game, but it's whatever.
And then the same Georgia team lost to Vanderbilt that next week. So
yeah, but that Georgia team beat LSU. The Georgia team beat LSU.
I mean, they beat them a couple of weeks previous when they were healthy. Like I say, Georgia's very good when they were. When I mean,
I think Missouri would beat. I got Missouri against beating LSU, but I don't know about Alabama.
Wow.
LSU got some shady losses. LSU lost to Ole Miss. Alabama blew out. Alabama, I think, shut out Ole Miss.
We're not talking about Bama. Like I said, I think Bama's. I think still think they're the best team.
I think the gap between Alabama and LSU is a little bit wider than it has been in the past few years. And I think Missouri is somewhere in between that gap. I think Missouri is a little bit better than LSU, but not as good as Alabama.
I wouldn't take Missouri over LSU right now.
You said you would?
No.
Oh, you wouldn't? Oh, okay.
No, not even with that defensive line.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, me neither.
Really? Interesting. Shockingly.
Missouri got the best D-line in the nation.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was wondering why you wouldn't take them over LSU right now. Why wouldn't you take them over LSU
now,
right now?
Without Mettenberger right now? Yeah, probably.
No. I'm talking about with Mettenberger. I'm talking about with Mettenberger healthy. I think I would take Missouri.
Yeah, I'd take LSU over Missouri.
Why would you take? Because of Mettenberger?
Because LSU can score. Because Missouri not good enough offensively to score on LSU. And LSU doesn't even have the studs they used to have. It's a different ball game with Bama and LSU, man. It's different. It's just different. It's just different,
yeah.
Man. When they play,
I mean, like I like
that.
I say, I agree. And this is somebody who, you know, like I said, I don't like that conference. I don't even not like that conference. I just don't like them talking crap. But like I said, I agree. I think that, you know, like I said, it's weird for me to look at these two top teams and be like, okay, is Auburn and Missouri really the best teams out of this conference? You know, it's like, you know, I don't know. You know, to me, that's also a penalty of the SEC for every team not playing each other, too. That's what I was trying to say last week. All these other conferences, Big Ten, Pac-10, we all used to play each other until previously. Now you got teams trying to compete with the SEC, and you got schools that don't even play each other. So you're going to have teams like Auburn and Missouri that make it to conference championships without playing every conference and proving that they're conference.
You still there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Oh, I thought we lost you. Okay.
All right, let's bring in some callers.
Let's bring in, I think this is going to be A13. It looks like, is this Tony Watley?
Yeah.
All right, you're on with TNT Firestorm.
What's up, people?
What's going on?
All right, Tony.
It's my turn. Is that what y'all telling me?
Yeah,
all right.
Go, man.
Cupcake time. Let's talk about all this cupcake stuff y'all was talking earlier.
Nobody was talking about that, but okay, keep going. Wait.
No. I've been listening for 30 minutes, so I heard all of this. The Big Ten, there are no good teams in the Big Ten. Big Ten has Ohio State, and that's it. Nobody else in that conference is worth anything, period, point blank. Now, secondly, Florida State, all cupcake conference. Now, let me tell you how I'm saying this all
who's
cupcake
your team,
conference.
Tony?
Let me finish. No, I've been listening for 30 minutes. Let me finish. All cupcake conference. You know why it's all cupcake? Because every conference has what they consider their elite teams. In the all-cupcake conference, the three elite teams in that conference is Clemson, Florida State, and Virginia Tech. That would be what they consider to be their elite teams. In the SEC, and I'm going to say this, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again, South Carolina is not an elite team in the SEC. I will say it again. No, they are not. They might be doing good for the last couple of years, but they are not considered an elite team in the SEC.
Okay,
why? Because
they've
never
SEC
won
teams?
A national championship. They've never gone to a national championship. They've never even gone to an SEC championship. That is not an elite team in the SEC.
Y'all can say what you want to say, but that is not an elite team in the SEC.
Now,
you're right on two things, except for one. You're right on two things. They did go to an SEC championship game. They did do one, just one, though.
Oh, anyway, my
point is...
They
got blown out.
Anyway, my point is they are not an elite team in the SEC.
Okay, who are they?
If not an elite team in the SEC, beat your all-cupcake conference elite team. This not
okay,
elite
Tony,
team
who are
in
the
SEC,
elite teams
in the SEC, beat your elite team in the ACC. And this not
team?
An elite team lost to an average team in the SEC. And this average team beat your elite team in the SEC or in the ACC. So y'all keep talking about conference to conference. South Carolina just blasted Clemson, and Clemson is supposed to be one of your elite teams in the ACC. Other than Clemson, who the hell else do they have? FSU? So, for me, that tells me that the ACC cannot compete with the teams in the SEC because the elite of the ACC played an above-average team in the SEC and got blasted.
Okay,
but,
so
and this is at
the
end of the season, not at the beginning of the season. The Georgia game was at the beginning of the
SEC,
season.
Tony, please
the,
hand me these
the South Carolina game was at the end
oh,
of the
man.
Season, and South Carolina put a mud hole in them.
But you're not going to hand me
mud hole
in
them. If they were really supposed to be this good a team, by the end of the year, they ain't got no excuse for why they're losing. And they got blasted.
Who are the
elite teams in the SEC, Tony?
In the Eastern Conference, the elite teams are Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee. In the Western Conference, the elite teams. I'm not talking about the ones that are doing good right now. I said the elite teams. The elite teams in the Eastern part of the SEC is Georgia, Florida. Let me finish. You asked, let me finish.
Okay, keep going.
Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee are the elite teams of the East. LSU, Alabama, and Auburn are the elite teams of the West. Now, Missouri has come in the
Auburn's
East.
Elite.
Texas A&M has come in the West. They are making their places, but they're not elite yet because they haven't proven anything yet. You got to prove something in the SEC to be elite.
Okay.
You don't
have
just
the biggest,
get it because
they,
you got
they,
some
they
name
the
and you got
history,
some past history. You got to prove something in conference to be elite.
Okay, yeah.
They're the teams with the biggest programs. Those are the,
okay,
when you say elite, those are the teams with the biggest programs, like the biggest funding, the best facilities. Those are the teams.
Okay, I'll accept that. But now, didn't Florida State just now blow out University of Florida, Tony?
Okay, we're having a bad year. I don't take that from us.
The University
of Florida got
blasted.
They're
an elite team, though, right?
Yes.
But they're an elite team.
They are an elite team in the SEC.
So they're supposed to
they got beat by the elite team of the ACC. But at
I
the
think
same
the best way
time,
to say
what
the
I'm
elite
saying
program.
Is even elite teams have bad years. Tennessee is going through a rough spot, but Tennessee is still an elite SEC team.
Okay,
they
but, you,
will
said,
be
but you said, hold on now, but you said Clemson is sorry because they lost to South Carolina, but they beat Georgia.
Okay, but the thing is, that was the first game of the year. You can easily give somebody a ranking at the beginning of the year based on last year or whatever, but let the season play, and then you'll see who is who. And at the end of the year, Clemson was supposed to be somebody. They played
you
to somebody that was South Carolina, and South Carolina put a mud hole in.
You do realize that preseason rankings are in favor of the SEC, right?
Do what?
I say you realize the preseason rankings are in favor of the SEC, right?
I don't care
not
about
this
preseason
year they
rankings.
Weren't.
Play the game.
Not this
they
year they weren't.
Play the game.
They weren't?
No, because they had all those Pac-10 teams.
Preseason,
they
preseason rankings
no,
always
they had
try
those...
to put somebody big in every conference in the top 10.
Yeah, they had all those Pac-10 teams this year.
It doesn't matter what conference it is, they try to get at least the elite team of every conference in the top 10, and those teams are not always the best teams.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, they had Stanford up in there.
Let me disband this statement Carvell just made. All what Pac-10 teams?
Stanford they had up in there. They had Oregon up in there. They had, who else?
They had
Eagles up in there, too.
They had Clemson up in there, Florida State from the ACC. They had from the
Pac-12, right now.
Stanford and Oregon from the SEC. They had three or four teams.
Florida is not even ranked.
Yeah, Oregon, they had Stanford up in there.
All those
teams
are still ranked. Florida is not even ranked.
Okay,
Florida was number 10 because they had Florida was 10-2 last year. Hold up. I want to get off of that. I want to get back to Whatley real quick. Whatley, are you a believer now? Whatley, are you a believer now, Winston? Huh?
Hell no. Hell
no. Oh, my God. You said you would be a believer. You said you would be. Oh, my God.
They still ain't played nobody. They still ain't played nobody.
Oh, my God. You know how you
You're trying to argue for FSU, but then you're getting disbanded by a pro SEC argument by Tony.
I love the Gators, but this year the Gators are a nobody, and I'm telling you, Florida State still ain't played nobody.
You see how it changes after every game.
But you were bragging till the cows come home that Florida was going to be Florida State. You were bragging till the cows come home.
I'm a Florida Gator. I'm supposed to talk shit.
Well, of course.
See,
now, if you're going to be objective, of course.
See,
I said Alabama was going to lose their number.
No objectivity when it comes to my team. As far as I'm concerned,
my
team's always going to win.
That's my team, no matter what.
You hear America. America, you hear this now, right, America? But okay.
I'm going to take my team no matter what.
You act like you don't understand it, but you understand. Tony, you do the same thing, Clavel. You do the same thing.
What do you mean
I
do the same thing? No. Hold on. Let me. I'm gonna make sure when I say this. When I say Alabama, this era of Alabama is better than Miami. I mean what I say. You know what I mean? I have facts to back this up. When I say Auburn is gonna beat Alabama, I have an objective reason behind it.
Because no matter how bad Florida is in a year, on any given day, the Florida Gators can beat anybody in America. I can guarantee you that.
Now this year,
Last week, Tony, you were saying that Florida just didn't want to play, but they were going to step up to beat Florida State, but they wanted to lose to all those other teams. They wanted to lose, but they were going to step up to beat Florida State. Now all of a sudden you're saying Florida is just garbage this year.
Look at the score at halftime versus the score at halftime for Florida State's all the other games this year. At halftime in all the other games, they were up by 40. At halftime of this game, it was still a close game.
Right, and that's what I expected. I said it was going to be good for a half, and then Florida State was going to be too much.
What are we talking about? At halftime, it was 17-0. 17-0, but what's the normal score at halftime for a Florida State game? 17-0 is a blowout.
Hold on, first of all,
no,
Kelly Mike.
Not the way Florida State's been playing all year. All year long, Florida State has been blowing teams out by halftime.
Florida played them better than anybody that has played Florida State this whole year, including Clemson. I said Florida State wouldn't beat them by 30. I said they'd beat them by 20. Right. But then
I
they
agree,
beat them by
but what I'm saying to you is
and they beat them
no,
by 30.
Florida didn't win that game.
Oh, they beat them by 30,
but they played them harder than anybody else.
Yeah, so what are you talking about, Clause?
Florida did play Florida State better than anybody else did this year.
What is this argument? I don't understand. You guys are making an argument based on what are you trying to prove here? What is this argument?
Because we were watching the first half. Even Tex can agree to this. Tex can even agree to this because Tex was watching the game. The same because I was posting on Facebook.
What are you trying to prove by this argument? What does this mean?
No, you said that Florida would not give their best against Florida State. Florida gave
their best.
That's
not what I said.
Florida is an inferior team this year. Florida is an inferior team this year.
I won't get to Winston.
Okay, anyway.
But they're better than all the other teams they've played.
Let me put you on hold, Tony. I want to bring in this other call. I think this is
James. I know James.
What's going on, James?
Hey, this is James Sale. I mean, I got Conspiracy Bill behind me, but I'll leave Conspiracy Bill in the background. y'all talking about this FSU-Florida game, right? About that game, Florida State pretty much stomped Florida from first quarter to fourth quarter. There was nothing close about that game. come on, are you serious? What did Florida Gators do in four quarters?
Clausell, if the game had been 17-0 completely, that would still have been a blowout. It was 17-0 at halftime. That's a blowout. What more do you want them to do? Beat them up? Beat them up and take their girlfriend?
Let me tell you what happened. It was 10-0, and at the last minute of the first half, Florida State scored a touchdown. That's what happened. Florida State played them tough during the first half. Anybody that watched that game, now Florida played them tough in the first half. Anybody that watched that game noticed that.
Come on, man.
They have 0 points.
Come on.
See, this is insanity.
How many points do they have? Never mind. I don't even want to argue here because I don't even think you guys watched the game.
No.
I watched the game.
Okay. You watched the game, right? So, if you watched the game, what happened in the game? Did Jameis Winston make an early mistake in the first quarter when he threw that interception when it came off the receiver's hands? That did happen, right?
Yeah, that happened.
Now, in reference to the Florida offense, what did the Florida offense do against the Florida State defense that made it any close?
Not anything.
Not anything. Okay.
That's
okay.
True.
So
that
how
is true.
Is it that they were
Florida, Florida's offense didn't do a doggone thing. They couldn't move up, but the defense played well. Admit to that, though, James. Hey, James, admit to that. The Florida defense.
That's the thing. They didn't play well. They played like a regular team. Like I said last week, this was the highest rated defensive class in the history of recruiting college football. It's going to be about 3 or 4 these dudes that are going to go in the first round. They did not play well. They played adequately. They didn't. I mean, this. Like I said, the game was 37.
And it was like Florida State just gave them that 7 points. I mean, the Florida defense couldn't even check Walker Park or Flames, son.
He threw for 300. He had 300 some yards. You know what I'm saying? His first game in the swamp against them boys, man. That's what I said. I thought Tony was gonna give him love, man. I guess Tony just.
I knew Florida State was gonna win this game. There wasn't no doubt in my mind about that. I thought that Florida played them, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, they played them better than any other team. I stood by that.
Oh, wait. I guess that Boston College game wasn't as close as you thought it was then, right?
Boston College kind of played them pretty well, too. At first it was Boston College, but then Florida played them tougher in terms of the defensive side of the ball.
Come on, man.
Honestly, what you're really arguing about a team that got blown out, man. It really doesn't matter. This little minuscule argument here really doesn't matter to me.
You're the one that's arguing it, Clausell.
Like Clausell says, it is what it is, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't really care, man. I want to get to Winston.
Also, Clausell, you forgot about the receiver Benjamin that had 200-some yards on those boys.
He was balling.
Walker Parker playing, man.
Oh, Waka Faka Flame? Oh, yeah, they couldn't stop him. You right about that.
They just got their butts kicked. That's all.
Now, hold on. Now, you just said they couldn't stop him, but, yeah, didn't last week you tell me the University of Florida had 2 shutdown corners, and I kept asking them who, and you but they just had a receiver get 200 yards on him, a third receiver, right?
No. He was doing a lot of his stuff on the slot, except for one play where he caught the ball and he turned back and looked at Purifoy. I thought that was pretty dope right there. I ain't going to lie to you. But he only brought him on one play. Benjamin was getting a lot of his stuff in the slot. He wasn't getting a lot of his stuff on the edge. He would catch it in the slot and then he would run for like 40, 50 yards because the rest of the team couldn't tackle him. You saw that one play where he broke like 4 or 5 tackles. You saw that play.
For everything, dude.
Oh, please. I ain't got no excuse for everything. You didn't watch the game.
He was out on the left side of the formation, and they were throwing it to Benjamin, right?
I can't think of one play where they really legitimately got
else on him. He was like in the left side. He wasn't like a slot or whatever it is going down the middle.
Yes, he was. He caught a lot of stuff in the middle.
Plays.
His bread and butter was in the middle. They had him in the seam like a tight end several times. They was putting him everywhere.
So,
but they worked him in the
that
seam.
Position, it didn't matter if it was played by Benjamin or O'Leary or any other players. That particular route was there for the Florida State Seminoles the whole game. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about when he's on the outside and Winston threw the ball to him on the outside and he was still burning them players.
He wasn't burning them. He would catch over them. He wasn't burning them. Now, hold on. I can only remember one play where he got one of those corners, and that was like one play where he caught the ball. It was like a deep pass. And he caught it, and he was tackled, and he looked at Purifoy. That's the only play I can think of. That was the only play I can think of where he got him there. I was like, okay, man, this dude was pretty good.
On the opposite side, but there was one on the opposite side where he caught the ball and he went out of bounds, and there was at least one other one where he actually dropped the ball, and if he didn't, he would have scored a touchdown.
Anyway, man, it doesn't even. I'm not really. It doesn't. This stuff doesn't really matter to me anymore. I still think they're two shutdown corners, though.
Last week, Claudio, you also said that the only reason the University of Florida lost those games was because they didn't want to win it. I said they lost their confidence.
I said they lost their confidence. That's what I said.
And that's why they didn't win those games.
You're right about that because you could tell they came up to play for Florida State, particularly on the defensive side, because they were giving Jameis Winston trouble during the first quarter. You can tell they were coming to play that game. They played more. They played tougher.
Besides the interception that went off a receiver's hand, what trouble were they giving him? I'm looking at the replay of this game right now. I'm looking at him scoring on what number is who's number 24? He just got burned. I'm looking at the replays of this game right now, and Benjamin's making these dudes look silly. I'm looking at it right now.
I don't know what number 24 is. Hey, I got a conspiracy bill on the other line, man.
Okay.
Yeah, this conspiracy bill here, and I want to talk about this Auburn-Alabama game. I think it's a conspiracy. Because if I was Nick Saban, I wouldn't have kicked that 47-yard field goal if I was missing field goals every single time that I lined up to kick a field goal. Why would I keep 1 second on the clock to kick a field goal with field goal kickers that ain't even make no kick the whole game? I just roll my dice for my Alabama team.
What do you think the conspiracy is based on, Mr. Conspiracy?
Well, the conspiracy is that I don't think they should have just, went on ahead and kicked that field goal knowing that they ain't even made no field goal all game. And then they done had a field goal blocked and let this team done drive all the way down the field on them. So if you knew that your kicker really couldn't kick that field goal, why don't you just go into overtime and put the trust on your defense?
Yeah, that's interesting because that's what everybody was telling Brady Hoke to do, too. But apparently when Nick Saban does it, it's okay.
Well, the thing about Brady Hoke thing was, it was like you said, they couldn't even stop the run against Ohio State. They had about 300 yards rushing against Michigan. So even if they put it into overtime, it wasn't like they were going to stop the run anyway.
Yep. Now, what do you have to say about that, Clavel?
I wasn't even paying attention, man. I mean, I think
you know that.
Oh, my God.
I really wasn't paying attention.
Causal says it is what it is, so I guess it is what it is.
Yep.
Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all how I think about that, about Saban deciding, making a decision to kick, and Hope doing what he did. If you're in Bama's kicker was struggling, he almost missed the XP earlier in that game. He almost missed an extra point. Brady Hoke, and I'm not mad. Brady Hoke did what he did. You're Michigan. You're not having the best year in a rivalry game. You're trying to go ahead and get the win. But you know what? If you're at home, then you probably play to try to go into overtime and win it. If you're on the road like you are with Nick Saban, then you're probably trying to get the game over with. So I get that. That's how I feel about it as far as playing to win the game and then playing to fight another day, that same game. So I didn't have a problem, you know, I didn't have a problem with saving. I thought he was going to, it looked like he was about to go in. I mean, but, you know, if you're on the road, then by all means, go ahead and try to win the game. If you're at home, you know, maybe you want to stretch it out a little bit, play it a little safe, you know what I'm saying? But, I didn't have a problem with what Saban did. That's just how I feel about it.
I mean, like I said, I didn't have a total problem with it when it happened, but I don't know. Like I said, I'm looking at this kicker. Like you said, this dude has been shaky all night. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have had a problem with it if they would have had maybe a spy or something like that or something. I mean, you have to know. I mean, Auburn had the dude back there for a reason, so you got to know that dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, like I said, you got to have a
high. I agree with that. They got caught. They got caught right there. I don't know how they got caught like that. I mean, when I saw the guy back there, I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, everybody needs to be running down the field.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, everybody's hauling ass down the field. Because you got five offensive linemen out there.
Yeah.
You know?
And
this is not a field goal block team.
One of those offensive linemen for Alabama, when they were running down trying to catch that dude, he tried to, what is it called when a dude hits you in the back? He tried to make himself fall and put this other dude and he tried to get a penalty call. I watched another replay. It's hella funny. But he throws himself in front of another guy. But I think, like I said, I think you have to have some type of clipping. But I think you have to have some type of, like I said, you got to have a spy back there. You know, when you see that dude going back there, just, you know, get somebody over there. I mean, that was, you know, like I said, and it's one of the joys of college football because you kind of really never know what's going to happen. But you could tell when that dude was running, could you tell how excited he was when he was running, the way his legs were going, and he was, you know what I mean? I mean, you could just see he was like, oh, shit, I'm going to be able to do this. You know, it was just, you know, just skating down the sideline and the way that Alabama people was looking like somebody just shot their best friend. It was, you know, it was crazy. But, James, let me ask you this question. Do you think that Ohio State is a legitimate national championship contender? If not, who do you think should play for the national championship?
All right, there, hold on a minute. Oh, yeah, you talking about Ohio State?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that I think they are a national title contender because, I mean, I've said it, you know, before, I've said it again many times. When you're in a BCS conference team, if you go undefeated, start to finish, and nobody else below you is going undefeated, then you should be in the BCS national championship. It doesn't matter who's in front of you. The question is, did you beat them all? If you did, then you should be in there. If you don't like it, then don't lose.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And like I said, my point is this. Like I said, you can only control so much of who you play. I mean, I understand what you guys are saying, that the SEC is better than the Big Ten. But, I mean, you want every team to transfer to that? I mean, I don't know what people want to happen. Do they want every school to transfer to the SEC? I mean, I don't get what people want.
We want the best teams to play. We want the best teams to play the national championship game.
Pretty much what you guys are talking about is eliminating conferences and teams just play whoever. That's what you're talking about.
This is my thing. This is my thing right here. I don't. You know what? And I don't even have a problem. You know, if Oklahoma State was undefeated and then they go and they win out and they get to a national title game, I don't have no issue with that. If Oregon or Stanford or either one of them Pac-10 teams out there, if they were undefeated, I wouldn't have a problem with them getting in there because I don't, you know, I mean, I don't want to see a slow-ass Big Ten team playing for the national title.
But this ain't the same Big Ten. This is Ohio State, though, man. They got your boy from your hometown who might be the fastest kid in the country, Devontae Wilson.
He's just one. He from DeSoto. He ain't from East Texas. He from DeSoto. He ain't from East Texas.
My thing is this: these teams cannot change who they play in the conference. The rankings, however, can change by the flick of a week. Because somebody decided, well, hey, I guess Auburn did better than Oklahoma State this week, so I'll just put Auburn above Oklahoma State. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing about it. These teams can't change what they play in the conference unless, you know, a university makes that decision to move to another conference, like Maryland moving to the Big Ten. So unless that happens, then really things can't change. In that
instance. Exactly. And I agree with that. I mean that and the virtue that all Ohio State has done is beat whoever's been in front of them for the past 2 years in a row. That's all they've done is win. Like old boy says, all they've done is win.
I know they've been playing FAMU 2 years in a row.
I can't, come on, man.
You know the dang on difference between a FAMU and
I can't. I can't get down. I can't get down with Ohio State. And to me, they're no different than what Notre Dame was last year. And I never for one week had Notre Dame in my top ten that whole season. These fools played in the national title. I understand that.
But I have a question, though, for the panel. We usually criticize these teams in the Northeast or in the Big Ten or whatever it is, right? And usually they get beat at the end of the season. Now, the thing is that they go ahead and they play in these bowl games, right? Where are most of these bowl games located?
That's true.
In the South.
New Orleans.
In the South.
Yeah.
So it's not like, those teams in the South are going up to play in the Wisconsins or the Michigans or the, you know, those type of areas where it's cold around this time of year, and it's definitely cold in January and December. Those teams up North have to adjust to what's down South in order to play the teams that are used to those type of conditions. So that's one thing to consider. I'm just saying.
That's actually a good point. I mean, Tex, what do you think about that? I mean, that's a good point. Teams do play different in different weather. That's been proven in college and professional sports.
I think if you're physical down here, if you're Alabama down here, And you're smash mouth anyway. Never mind that you already have the better athletes, but you're a smash mouth team anyway. You're going to put in work if you go up North because that's what you do anyway. Even in the East,
But the style of play is going to change to the weather though.
You're going to play different when that's what Bama does anyway.
Bama don't play in snow. Bama has never played. They just want to smash you. That's what teams try to do
in the cold weather, isn't it? They just want to hit you up on the ground.
But here's the other thing, though. It's a different type of atmosphere. It's a different type of air. It's a different type of condition. Yeah, they do smash mouth, but how long can they do it? Do they have the oxygen? Do they have the stamina, this ability to do it time after time in 20-degree weather.
Cold weather is going to negate some of that speed. And that's like I said, I never even thought of it like how James said it, but now that I look at it, cold weather is going to negate some of that speed. Like I said, I went to high school in Northern California and Southern California, and playing football in the Bay Area was completely different playing football in L.A. You know, it's cold. You know, you get that. Let's say y'all play. You know, you've been playing and you get a lung full of cold air when you're tired. That's you down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't think twice about taking Ohio State versus somebody like Bama, even in cold weather.
Yeah, Bama would beat them in cold weather. Yeah, they would.
I mean, that's
an
if.
I'm from Alabama, too. And I'm from Alabama, and it ain't like it's, you living in the sun in Alabama either. It ain't like it's 70 degrees there in December.
But I mean, being a logical person, Clavel, being a logical person, since it's never happened, you can't just assume that they would win that game. Because it's never happened. They always play in the heat. So you can't just, by using logic, you can't assume that they will win that game. No way you can. If you want to match them up team for team, yes, Bama will beat them. But like I say, by using logic, you can't assume that they will win that game in cold because they've never played it before. That's like saying, you just can't do it. You know, like I say, I think Bama's better than them, but like I'm saying, it's different playing in the cold. That it makes a big difference, and I take a chance in style of play. And I never thought of it like that before. If you think about it,
I wouldn't think about it objectively.
You'll see the point, but you're not looking at it objectively. You're looking at it as Alabama.
I'd put everything I had on Bama beating Ohio State upstate in the cold. Everything.
Alabama's never played in the cold before.
Because Bama's the better team with the better players, you know.
So what you're saying, even though it's been proven in professional sports, you're saying in college weather has nothing to do with how players play a game.
Well, you just saw Peyton Manning go to Kansas City and score 43 fantasy points.
What does that mean? I mean, what's Kansas City?
It was about 23 degrees up there this past week.
It gets 23 degrees in Denver. Are you serious?
Yeah, I know that. But you saying it's different playing in cold weather? It's not.
Have people that are used to playing in it, it's gonna be a. You know what I mean? Like I said, these dudes from I can't really think of an analogy to say it, but you can't say that somebody would do something in one medium that they've never done before.
Hey, hold
that's
on.
Like, that's like
saying
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, before y'all put me on hold, the thing is, you can't – I don't know if you can really use Denver because Denver is a whole nother elevation, and they deal with a whole different type of air than anyone else in the nation pretty much. So not only do they have to deal with the cold, but they have to deal with limited oxygen too. So I don't know if you can use Denver in that case.
That's true too. Plus, I mean, like I said, Manny, he's used to playing Indy too. It gets cold as hell up there anyway. That's right all in that same area. But let's bring in this next caller from the 708. Hi, right, you're on.
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's up,
how y'all doing, man? Hey, what's up?
Right?
Hey, man, I've been listening to y'all. Hey, I'm gonna say this: Alabama got caught slipping at the end because they should have known that Auburn was gonna go ahead and do anything to go ahead and try to win. So basically, that's my argument with Alabama because they got caught slipping. And as for the BCS, that's the reason why they're doing a four-team playoff for next year, because of all the votes that's coming in. Because, you know, everybody's going to go ahead and vote for Ohio State or, what's the name, Auburn or Alabama or something. So that's why they went ahead and got the four-team playoff so other teams can get in. Like, say, for instance, this year, it would be Ohio State, Florida State, Northern Illinois, and who was the other unbeaten team? I'm trying to remember who the fourth one was.
I think that's it.
I think it is one right now.
Illinois and
Ohio State.
I can't think of it. And Alabama will see again. But that's the reason why they set up the new 14 playoff for next year. So that kind of stuff won't happen. So basically, votes won't really apply. And everybody gets a fair shot to get in.
Mm-hmm. Do you think with the 4-team setup, do you think that that's going to be good enough? Or do you think they might have to expand it to maybe 6 teams or 8 teams?
I say give it like a couple of years to see how it goes, because usually every year you got like three or four teams that goes undefeated and go all the way. So this college, so a degree we've been doing like a couple of years, and say a couple of years, like 5 or 6 teams go, then go expand.
I feel you.
That's what I'm saying. They're trying to run for first.
I said, when they first announced it, though, I was thinking that same thing, but I was like, yeah, maybe see it go. I think they were probably going to have to expand it because you know it's going to be.
I think you need 12 teams.
12 teams, really?
Yes.
Man.
Now, if you had 12
oh,
teams,
by the way,
if you had 12 teams, you do realize that they'd have to cut down on the number of regular season games, maybe have just 10-game seasons again like they used to.
Well, you can,
so
you, like, you can probably do that. I mean, you know, they – And it's all money for the NCAA, for the universities anyway. So I don't know why they wouldn't, you know, they just acting like they care. That's just more money for them. So yeah, 12 teams. Give me what I want.
Well, BC,
and you can go make your money.
Well, the BCS, the BCS is already rigged, set up money wise anyway, because you know Notre Dame will get their money for going to a bowl. You know that. Probably Texas will get money for their bowl. Hawaii's going to get money for the Hawaii bowl. Everybody that gets in the bowl, that regularly gets in every year, they're going to get their money regardless.
I was going to say,
oh, by the way,
I
got Florida State. I got Florida State and Ohio State going for the national championship. That's my pick.
Who you got winning?
Ah, man, that's a good call.
Come on now. Y'all ain't nobody here taking Ohio State over Florida State.
You got that
nobody,
right.
Nobody thinks
you got that right.
I can't do it. I cannot do it. Like, I cannot see it.
No faith in Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that's my only concern. That's my only concern is Urban Meyer. You know, it's kind of like that Miami. It's like that Miami 2002 Miami team that went, played Ohio State. Everybody thought that Miami was going to roll over them. And somehow Ohio State just won for some reason.
Well, Ohio State, I mean, you know what? And if Miami wasn't going to win that game, then they just didn't deserve to win that game with that roster being unable to secure a victory. Then they just didn't need to win.
Texas, is that the real reason you hate Ohio State? Because they beat Miami.
Do what?
Is that
it's nothing like it's not like that. I just don't like slow football. I don't like slow molasses ass.
That was the BCS game last year. When Notre Dame played Alabama. That was a snooze fest after halftime. I'm like, what the
yeah.
fuck?
Yeah. And that's what I envision when I see Florida State and Ohio State. I'm sorry, man. I can't, you know, this is typical Big Ten BS, man. And, you know, like I said earlier, I threw a tantrum when Ohio State got in against Florida and LSU. I was pissed because I felt like I was
really?
Being violated. You know?
Yeah.
I wasn't
Damn.
Getting
Damn.
What I wanted. You know,
I thought some of those teams had a chance to tell you the truth. I mean, I never expected to be like how it was. I thought, you know, I don't know, you know, I mean, just, you know, with Ginn and San Antonio Holmes and them guys, they had some weapons. You know, I can't say they didn't have any weapons. And, you know, Troy Smith was playing good, but, you know, they got their asses whooped. But let me ask you this question, though.
My favorite Florida.
Do you think, Tex, do you think that the teams from the Big Ten are going to be able to step up to the challenge that Urban Meyer has, you know, guys like, you know, has told them that they need to step it up in order to improve the conference? I mean,
no.
what do you think
first,
it's going to take
first
for them
off,
to improve themselves?
No, we got to put Watley on in a minute. Here.
First off, because the talent in the Midwest is limited anyway. And guess whose pipeline runs up there now? Nick Saban's.
That's true. They're already slim on talent.
You know what I'm saying? And now Nick Saban is reaching in up there, stealing right from Urban Meyer's backyard. I might have posted an article about that. But Bama's starting to get up in there, up in that Midwest. So you're limited anyway because of your region. But you know, make no mistake, he's going to get his Dontre Wilsons. You know, the receiver at Michigan, what's his name? Dude out of Miami.
Damn. I can't remember his name.
Y'all remember his name?
The quarterback or the receiver?
The receiver.
The
receiver.
Oh,
the quarterback's
damn.
From South Florida, too. Quarterback's from Fort Lauderdale, I believe.
Yeah, he sucks. But the receiver, though, the receiver.
I can't lie to you.
The receiver is a playmaker.
He's not going to use him. Rich Rod left.
He's a
major
playmaker. But, you know, they're going to get there. He's going to get his guys.
Jeremy Gallant.
He's going to get his guys from the South, but the Big Ten is not going to recruit. But you know what, though?
Yeah.
You'll watch. Watch come playoff time. Watch when these playoffs roll around and these Big Ten teams get up in there.
I was going to say, Big Ten needed to take notice of a couple of coaches that I think that could make a difference in that conference. One, y'all might be wild at me, but, hey, you know, he brings some controversy, but, hey, he had a good track record against his rival, Jim Tressel. And how about Lane Kiffin?
Where would Jim Tressel go?
That's what I was about to say.
Some people are out of Miami, but I'll say, how about Michigan? Shit, I mean, see what he did to Michigan when he was at Ohio State. He always beat them.
Jim Tressel was an Ohio State guy, though. He was a coach at Youngstown before he was at Ohio State. He's an Ohio guy,
But that dude, what's his name? Schellenberger, he was an Ohio guy. He was from Ohio. He saw what he did in Michigan. Hey, opportunity.
I would like to see Philip Fulmer come back in the game. I'd like to see Philip Fulmer come back in the game, man.
He was horrible.
He was not a horrible coach. I don't know what you're talking about. He had a good record, y'all. His record speaks for itself.
But I think the game might have passed him by now. I think, you know, he needs to fight this chill.
Did you just hear Claudel say they need to bring Phil Fulmer back? Will you tell him about Phil Fulmer, please?
Hold on. I can't talk about that. I got to talk about what I've been waiting to hold on for. y'all some South hating niggas, boy.
Come on, man. This is a radio, man.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Y'all some South hating Negroes. Is that better?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay. Now,
whatever.
How is it? Help me understand this, gentlemen. How in the world? The reason why they play all the games in the South is because it's sunny in the South. South means hot.
What are you trying to say to me?
That these teams from the North would play better in the snow than they play on regular grass? Help me understand what your argument is.
Yes, they're used to playing there.
But half the season it's just regular. What are you talking about? Y'all are acting like they start playing in snow from day one. They might play two games at the end of the year in the snow.
That only happens in the South, Tony. In the North, it's cold in September.
How many games have you seen played in the snow this year?
Mm-hmm.
How many NCAA games have you seen played in the snow this year?
I don't watch Big Ten games,
so I
don't know.
You're snowing up north right now.
I think you say East Coast. You said North. You think about Midwest. I say, yeah, like New York. And,
I don't care. Midwest, Wisconsin, you call it. What I'm telling you is, y'all act like there's some big difference between playing up north and playing down south. You play on grass, and you would much rather play on warm grass than cold grass. And I promise you, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and all them others are going to get their
it's warmer when you play in snow than in comparison to when it's really cold.
Look at the converse, though, Tony.
So wouldn't you be able to say that a team from the South wouldn't be as good in the snow as they would in the heat? I promise you
Alabama would whoop every northern team's ass. I wouldn't care if it snowed 17 feet.
Yep.
Aren't you a Gators fan?
You can sit there and say what you want to say. I'm telling you,
a good team doesn't make no difference
whether it's snow, rain,
sleet.
You call it.
Is the University of Florida your team?
Absolutely.
and they just got beat, right, by a cupcake team, right?
No, FSU ain't cupcake. I didn't say – when did I ever say – I said they in a cupcake conference. I didn't say they were cupcake.
So how can they be good if they only play cupcakes? How do you know if they're good?
Well, we will know when they play a good team. They ain't played one yet.
So Florida's not good then?
Absolutely not. When you lose 7 games, you cannot call yourself good.
Man, we didn't even get on Wednesday.
But wait a minute. But when they lose 6 games, they can be good. But that 7th game is the one that makes them not good, right?
No. I never said Florida was good this year. Now, at the beginning of the year, I thought they could pull it out. But once they lost to Vanderbilt, their good status left. It's over. You lose to Vanderbilt,
good. Wait a minute. But you said that they were good, but they're just playing bad because they didn't want that coach anymore and that they wanted him out, so they were playing bad. You said they're really a good
point?
Team.
My point to you is they're having a bad season, and you want to just keep holding on to the fact that they lost. They're having a bad season. Every team has a bad season. Florida State has gone through 6-7 years of bad seasons. Okay, now they're back. Can we focus on now?
Yes, right now Florida is sorry. Yes, that's what we're focusing
okay,
on right
and
now.
I said I agree. We had a bad year.
All right, man. See, I don't like when people switch up stories. Like I said, last week you were saying that they were good, and the only reason they were doing bad was because they didn't want that coach in. That was for a fact you were saying that last week. But anyway, I'll take a grain of salt. And you said that they're just bad. Okay, I'll accept that. That's fine. That's good. I'll accept that they're just.
But my whole argument here is this whole argument about, oh, my God, you guys are not taking into account that these teams are coming from up north and they're used to playing in the cold. Are you kidding? They'd still get blasted. Cold, white, rain, sleet,
snow. And what are you basing this on? Are you basing this on facts or opinion?
I'm basing it on Alabama is going to mud hole them anywhere in America.
So that's your opinion. Okay, I'll accept that as being your opinion. I'll accept that. All right.
You think if Alabama played Wisconsin in the snow, Wisconsin would win? Is that what you're telling me?
I didn't say that. I just asked what your opinion is, but you're basing this off of an opinion. It's not
but
a
that's
fact.
What y'all
You're
are saying.
Off an
y'all
opinion.
Are saying if Alabama went up north and played Wisconsin,
nobody
no,
said that,
it'd
dude.
Be a whole
I,
different
Tony,
game.
Nobody
I
said
say
what
no.
you're saying. Nobody said that.
That is exactly what James said, is it not?
James ain't even on the line anymore.
If we played the game
anyway, okay,
north
let me ask you this
down
question.
South, there'd be a
do
different
think,
result.
Do you think Ohio State has the right to play in the national championship game?
Absolutely. Anytime you go undefeated for 2 years, you got a right.
No, this is only this year. That has nothing to do with 2 years ago. This is only this year. I'm only focusing on this year. From game one of this year to the end of this game
this
year.
They're
undefeated, and they've been playing some bunch of garbage. They've been playing FAMU,
Ohio,
you know, all that crap, man. I don't even want to hear that, man. And they barely beat them. That's the thing. And they're barely beating them. Florida State at least has blown them by 50 points by the end of the first half.
Okay,
I agree with you. They
What more do you want?
Both of you guys are talking at the same time. I couldn't hear you. What did you have to say?
I said I agree with you. They cupcaked it. But I think Florida State cupcaked it, too.
At least they're blowing everybody out. At least Florida State's blowing everybody out.
I think Michigan could beat half the teams in the ACC.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
I think Michigan could beat
half the teams
in the ACC.
I think Duke would beat Michigan, but anyway.
Okay, and besides this game between Michigan, no game that – Ohio State has won has been close this year. They're the third highest scoring team in the country. So I don't know what you're talking about those games. No other game.
I would give, like I said, I think Ohio State deserves to go to the national championship. I think they've earned it. I really do. And if it turns out to be FSU, Ohio State, I think they both earned it. But I just like I said on my Facebook, I am devastated that the SEC will not be represented. Because you know what? I don't care how many games they've won or lost. There is no better team in the United States of America than the Alabama Crimson Tide. I don't care what you say.
Like I said, I might agree with you on that, Tony, but let me ask you this question. Now, by your logic that you've given in the past, since there's not an SEC team playing in the national championship this year, how can they be the best conference?
Because the way that it is decided who is the best team in the in America.
My goodness, so now you're attacking the rankings.
Listen, they set it up by pre-rankings. And then you have these weak conferences playing against this monster conference. Of course you're going to lose one game in a monster conference.
But, Tony, the pre-rankings heavily favor the SEC. They heavily favor the SEC. The pre-rankings heavily favor the SEC. That's been proven.
No, come on. The pre-rankings, and let's be real, people. They know that they're going to end up playing each other, so they know that somebody's going to get eliminated as the year goes along. That's why they can put 10 teams in the top 10, because they know they're going to play each other, and they're all going to get knocked out, and cupcakes are going to keep rising.
That's what everybody says about the SEC. You're making an argument that everybody makes about the SEC about other teams besides the SEC. But
that
anyway,
is
Tony,
not true. If think about what you're saying, I got to get Matt on here real quick. One real quick comment. If you put LSU, Alabama, and Auburn in the top 10, you know two of them are going to go down because all three of them got to play each other. Think about it.
No, they don't. They don't all play each other. That's the point. That's the point I was making earlier this year. It would be easier if they all played each other. I agree. If they all played each other, I can make a case for LSU playing Alabama, and Alabama plays Auburn. Does Auburn play LSU?
It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is all three of them are going to lose or win.
But Auburn doesn't play LSU, so they all don't play each other.
Top 10.
Auburn doesn't play LSU, so they all don't play each other. But anyway, let me put you on hold. I want to bring in Matt. Hold on 1 second. Hey, what's going on, Matt? You're on CMT.
Hey, Matt.
Mr. Matt.
Yeah, I'm here. I had y'all.
How y'all doing this evening?
How's it going?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This is wonderful. This is why I wanted Alabama to lose, because this is something to talk about. Alabama's still the best team in the country, and how they're getting effed over by put down to fourth. What a disgrace.
Yeah. So who do you think
go ahead. I was going to ask what their question was.
Well, okay. What do you think about the Ohio State Buckeyes? You think they have a right to play the national championship? If not, who do you think should be there?
I think they have a right to be a school in the Big Ten. I think that's where their rights are limited. It stops there. They do not belong in the top five rankings. They do not belong. No, I don't think they're a top five team. I could take three SEC teams and put them in the top five and justify it. I actually would justify Washington, and we'll see, we're Michigan State. I could actually justify more Michigan State being in the top five than Ohio State. Winning, it doesn't matter. Oh, okay, you know, I was just explaining this on that conversation that we've been having all day. It really doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's how you win and how you lose and who you win or lose to. There's a lot of variables involved in winning and losing. It's not cut and dry, win or lose. Like, for example, Alabama lost on a fluke, last second field goal that fell short and was ran back for a touchdown. That's how they lost. It wasn't that that's a lot different than Auburn getting the ball and driving down at the end of the game to win it, imposing their will on the, you know, a top defense and outright winning the game as time expires. It's completely different. And then it's different than a fluke play. It shows that we played you to be better instead of a field goal kicker that obviously was beyond his range, even though Saban didn't think so. And I wholeheartedly believe that Saban thought the kick, worst case scenario, was going to go out of bounds. And it didn't. And we have one of the biggest, most miraculous plays in college football history.
Has Saban come? Has he made comments about that kick yet? I haven't got to see any in his press conferences. What did he say about it?
He said that. He said, you know, he plays the percentages and the scenarios, and he wanted to do the kick. He sent the kicker in because he kicks 60-yard field goals in practice. And he had the wind at his back, so he thought without a doubt he would. But if he's catching it at the 9, that means the kick is about 15 yards short. But with the wind at his back, it's actually shorter than that. So the guy kicked the ball about 20 yards short for him to catch it at the 9 with the wind at his back. See what I'm saying? So the guy was clearly outside of his range. I don't think – I know Clausel made a comment last night, but I don't think – he necessarily thought he could make it. And that wind had to blow pretty hard for that 55-yard kick to get there. And there wasn't a jet stream to where, and I watched the kick, the jet stream, the wind didn't slow the ball down or divert the ball. It should have pushed it. And I think it did push it. But it still fell short. Like I said, 15 yards short. So it, I don't know. If I was him, I would have thrown the Hail Mary there over the field goal kick, because you have more athletes on the field to tackle somebody that you throw a Hail Mary intercepted to. Because usually a whole bunch of people are right around him and he gets tackled anyways. So I felt that would have been a higher percentage, safer play than, you know, kicking the field goal. He gets A.J. McCarron gets sacked, time expires anyways. You have 1 second. So it really doesn't matter if he gets intercepted or not, because he'd have to return it. So, I understand if he could kick 60 yards, but I doubt he could, being that short on the kick.
Yeah, I can't remember. I read something about that part where you were saying too, man, about the kick.
What did it say?
No, so I had read an article about them saying about the kick right after the game. I was reading. I seen something on it about that.
Yeah, it's. but I think, but kind of talking about, I don't think Alabama should have fell. I think if you went traditionally, because of the way they lost, I think Alabama should have only fell the second.
Wow, really?
They fell the fourth. Yeah, they should. They're still the best team in the country, but I mean,
well,
Florida fell
the second,
State.
Though, would that really be fair to Auburn? Because they could always say that, hey, we beat the hell out of these dudes. Well, we didn't beat the hell out of them.
But this is, like I said, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's how you win or how you lose and who it's to. They lost to the fourth-ranked team in the country on a fluke run-back field goal, not punt return, field goal return, on a fluke play. It doesn't say you're better than them. It just says you got lucky and this was the outcome. I still think if they play 10 times, Alabama beats them at least 8.
Oh yeah, I think they beat a 9. I think they beat a 9 out of 10.
And then there you go.
Like
then why would you drop Alabama lower than 2?
Because
they're sure as hell better. I mean, the only team right now in the country you could argue that is could be at any point in time better than Alabama right now is Florida State.
Yeah.
And because of their schedule, it's hard to say.
They changed the way that they do. I don't know. They tweaked it so much how they BCS, because at first, remember, they changed it. First major big overhaul that they did was when they changed it because it's funny. They changed it because of FSU. Remember how, Bowden would run up the scores on those teams.
And, you know, yeah. they wanted to take that factor out of it so it wouldn't matter, you know, how much you beat a team by. It was either, you know, with win, you know. You know, it's kind of, you know, because of that, you know. Because, you know, you Florida State running up, you know, that's every time, you know, every time they get the ball, you know, throwing, you know, throwing long bombs when it's, you know, in deep quarter there. They kind of changed it because of that, but, you know,
They altered the margin of victory factor. If you win by this much, if you win, I think it was 24 points, 21 points, something like that. If you win by 21 or more, it'd be the same if you win by 21 or 51. It wouldn't matter because it's still a win. But the problem wasn't the margin of victory. It's who they were playing. It's letting these FCS schools even play. It's taking, you know, bringing in Wyoming to pay them a half a mil to get whooped on. And that's the problem. You know, there needs to be regulation within Division One. I don't think they needed 126 or 136 Division One schools right now. Like North Texas has no reason, you know, playing against, you know.
Yeah, and
anybody
somebody tried to pass something. I think to where the. I don't know if they did pass it, but they were trying to pass something in the BCS to where the FBS games wouldn't count towards the
they don't count towards your record.
Yeah. I don't know if it went through or not though. I don't did it or.
It did go through, but it's like for 2016. So kind of like all legislation. It doesn't matter because it's 2-3 years down the line because they have to, you know, prepare for it. But, you know, and they do that because they want to deter, you know, major, you know, perennial power school. Basically, to where it used to be, there used to be basically 35 teams that was in the top 25. It was the same 35 teams every single year, year in and year out. That during that time, you'd never dream to see Fresno State, Boise State, who cares State, in the top 25. You know, Northern Illinois never would be there. And I'd like, you know, it's hard to, I mean, Northern Illinois won their bowl game last year, and Boise State beat Alabama. Fairly beat Alabama. But,
all right.
Would you if this was during the season and not a bowl game, do you think Boise State or Northern Illinois wins those games? I doubt it. Because when you have, you know, 3 to 6 weeks to prepare for somebody, it's a big difference when you have a week. So it changes a lot.
That's kind of the magic of the college. Don't you think that's kind of the magic of the college season? You know, I mean, look at the NCAA tournament. I mean, everybody loves the Cinderella story, you know. I mean, that Boise State, that win was the biggest win of the year, really, you know, besides national championship.
Everybody they like to write about the Cinderella story, but nobody wants the Cinderella story to actually win.
That's true. Nobody really wants to watch it.
It was nice. It was crazy to see Butler go to the Final Four 2 years in a row. But nobody wants Butler to win. They want Kansas to win. They want North Carolina to win. They want Duke to win. They want the same teams, Syracuse, to win. They want the same power teams to win. That's who they want to win. That's who they want to watch because that's entertaining. I mean, there's more parity in basketball.
I got to get some calls here in, man. Let me put you on hold real quick. Let me put this 708 in. 708?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I've been listening to y'all for a minute, man. Geez, y'all going back and forth about Alabama being the best team around, really? The BCS look at it as this. Once you lose once, that's it. You drop, period.
Depends on what time of the season you lose, though, true.
All right. Well,
also,
I mean, hey, that's
also,
all you have to say. All right.
Also, along with this
Is that all you have to say?
Yeah, I was trying to go ahead and talk about this hot weather, cold weather stuff y'all was already going about, too.
yes, traditionally all bowl games are played down south, so of course the down south people have an advantage. Now if they go up north, with the exception of Alabama, I'll go ahead and give them that. Everybody else will probably get smoked if they come up north and play.
Well, I don't know about that. Georgia's a physical team. South Carolina's a physical team. I mean, people think the SEC's finesse. Now, if a Pac-12 team come over there, that's a different story. They probably,
yeah,
even though,
because it's never cold in Oregon, or it's never cold where I am right now. It's not 20 degrees in Sacramento right now, right?
Cold, yeah, how do you think about that? But Pac-12 is finesse. Pac-12 is a finesse conference. That's the finesse conference of the Pac-12. The SEC is physical.
No, it isn't.
What?
No, it isn't.
SEC's not physical? Are you kidding me?
No, Pac-12 is not a finesse conference.
Man.
I don't want to start that argument again. We need to start a finesse conference.
It is. Except for Stanford, that's the only team. All the rest of your teams are finesse, man. Except for Stanford. That's it.
Man, no, it isn't. Okay, look, anyway, man, we need to start transferring over to NFL time anyway. We're running over
it. Yeah, we need to go ahead and get on that topic. We have to go ahead and talk about how bad the team is sucked in and how they need help, period.
Okay. All right, Clavel, you want to transfer us over? I mean, you want to start off the NFL portion?
Yeah, we can do that.
I got a lot to say.
I need to get the list of things here. Okay. Shucks, man. I don't know the protocol here for the show.
Okay.
Hold up, man. Mike, you might have to help me out here, man, because I don't know the protocol for the show.
Hold on.
I don't have the protocol for the show, yo.
Okay.
I got it right here. Sorry. Hold on.
Relax.
Okay. Relax. Our first subject is we're going to talk about games from last week. Denver, KC, Arizona, Philly, and the big one in Seattle and New Orleans. First, let's get the caller.
Oh, really?
What did you want to talk about?
I want to talk about how the Bears are throwing away their season.
Is this a homer?
Yeah.
Like Mike?
He's a Bears fan.
I can tell.
Bears fan.
What's your name, man?
Hometown. I'm Damian, man. Yeah.
Damian, okay.
Go ahead and talk about that. I got to talk about that. Because what?
You said how the Bears are doing what?
How they're throwing their season away. Yes, I will
like
say
they always do.
They should have won that goddamn game against Minnesota this past week. But Trestman is fucking up.
What's the last one doing?
You don't kick a 66-yard field goal when you have all second down. You don't do that. Just
David, what's your last name?
At least one more run, huh?
What's your last name, man?
King.
King. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
He's on my Facebook page, so you know, he's on our group.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What do you think the solution is to the Bears? I keep telling Mike that I think that they got to do something about Cutler, man. Mike has faith in Cutler. He says he's coming back next year. What do you think is the problem with the Bears? Wasn't name is actually stepping up. Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's like the city. He's a top five receiver yardage wise. I think this year. I think he's like second or third right now. But what do you think the Bears' major problem is right now?
Yeah, he had 200 yards last game.
All right. I'm going ahead and defend on Cutler for the first part. I'm going to defend him too because the problem is this: when you play with a different offensive coordinator every season, there's no continuity. Every year he's been there, he's had. At least all offensive receivers come by. He has had no continuity. Once you give him
I agree. And that's kind of, I'm a Niner fan, and that's kind of the Alex Smith argument. But I'll say this: offensive coordinators changing is no excuse for subpar play.
I'll give you that.
Okay. I didn't get a quarterback learning a system. Or him not coming along fast, but it's still no excuse for subpar play. And I had to give the same, say the same thing about Alex Smith. You know, no excuse for subpar play. And I got to put that same thing on.
Every quarterback, every quarterback functions differently. I mean, maybe this guy needs at least two seasons with the same coordinator before he actually gets results. He's doing good this year, so he went down.
But have we ever
gotten
a
vote?
Have we ever gotten a vote from the coach? I mean, Cola's going to be coming in the what? What is this about to be, his eighth year?
Come on, eighth year in the league or with the Bears?
In the league.
Yeah, but look what we had Denver. I'm pretty sure he had the same offensive coordinator when he was in Denver. And he produced good with a Pro Bowl.
He was good. I mean, he had a decent season. I mean, everybody talks about that season like it was a Joe Montana, John Elway. You know, well, he wasn't Elway. I mean, he had a decent season, but I mean, like I say, he's never been what everybody thought he should be, or what I think he should be, or what he thinks he. I don't think what he thinks he is either. You know, I mean, my point with Cutler is like, how far do you think he can take you? Is this the guy who you think can? I mean, your goal is to win a Super Bowl, right? Is Cutler the guy you think can take you to the Super Bowl?
No.
He goes to the NFC Championship, Mike.
Mike, he was getting beat down. He was messing up before he got hurt.
Exactly.
Look here.
You don't know if the guy could have resolved back, though.
Hey, he was getting his butt handed to him before he went out. Stop the Homer stuff.
Are you sure about that?
Stop the Homer stuff.
But like, I'm not saying the man got hurt, too, though. I mean, I get
this
it.
This is Homer stuff right here. Now, when he was in Denver, he was surrounded by everything, and he was still doing the same crap that he's done in Chicago. He had better players around him in Denver. He had Brandon Marshall. They had receivers. They had a running game. They had a franchise left tackle. They had a tight end. They had backs to run the ball. All right? Now, he didn't have a great defense, but he had offense, and they were putting up some numbers, okay? And he doing the same thing in Chicago. Throwing a lot of touchdowns and a lot of interceptions. They had more in Denver around him than Chicago has ever given him, and he had to run to Chicago because he didn't feel like he could compete with Kyle Orton. So that tells you everything you need to know about Jay Cutler.
Exactly. He was trading for Matt Cassel, and Cutler found out about it, and he got outraged about it. But Jay Cutler was that good.
Why would anybody be talking about trading him if he was that good? Think about it. You're not listening to what you're saying.
Because it's not McDaniel's guy. He's not McDaniel's guy. McDaniel's wanted Matt Cassel.
You know what? No, you know what? You know what?
It does matter.
You know what McDaniels wants? He wants guys to compete. All Cutler had to do was compete. There was absolutely no way Orton was going to win that quarterback. No way Orton was going to win that quarterback, was going to take that job from Jay Cutler.
Mike,
you want to make excuses for anybody wearing a Bears jersey, okay?
He was competing with Orton. He was part of the
training set. I think Cutler's talented, but he ran. He ran. Of course they're going to lie to you. Yeah, they're going to lie to you. Your job is to go study. Now, you sat down with McDaniels, you can become his guy. And you can go take over the world.
This is crazy now. Texas is emotional. That's the reason why he left. Texas emotional,
but
this boy.
Over the goddamn Bears.
My gosh. Over the Bears.
That was Cutler's job to go compete, man. You know how tough it is to get Brandon Marshall at wide receiver, get Eddie Royal in the slot,
Tony Scheffler, who was an emerging tight end, you know what I'm saying, before it all came apart. To get Scheffler, you had Marshall, you had Royal in the slot, you had Scheffler, you had Clady at the left tackle, you had the quarterback. Denver always ran the ball under Shanahan. Do you know how hard it is just to get the wide receiver and the left tackle and to get the quarterback and to have a system in place that's proven to get all of this together? They had all – man, they just – I was like – and I used to think about it. I used to talk about them, and I was like, man, they're building something on offense. They're building something. I mean, they sat there. Mm-hmm. They had the wide receivers. They had the running game, and they had the left tackle. They had the quarterback. Man, they had the tight end. They had all that on the same team. And I was like, man, there's absolutely no way you can let this thing walk. I mean, you got to keep this like this, and you got to let it grow. And McDaniels came in. McDaniels, don't get me wrong. He's an asshole coach. Yeah, absolutely he's an asshole coach. You coming out of New England, okay. You're assholes.
Really?
But
okay.
What Cutler needed to do was he needed to compete. He needed to – and you can never underestimate a coach's ego or a GM's ego to have his guy at quarterback. You can't underestimate that. But all he had to do was learn. Sit down and learn. Go about the business and become Josh McDaniels' guy, man. It was right there for the taking, and he's mad because they lied to him. How often do guys get lied to in the NFL every day?
Oh, we gotta move on. I gotta put James on.
But he was already mad about the thing with Shanahan, and he getting fired, and then too, his quarterback coach Jeremy Bates.
Hey,
so he was already
gotta end
mad.
This. Hold on.
With his boys,
hold on. Let me.
Huh?
Man, Doug,
I said you gotta say Damien. I gotta put. Say your comment. I gotta put James on after this. I'll put you on hold, Damien, after you talk, after you say your comment.
All right. My thing is this. Cutler is proven. Give him another season, and he will be fine. The reason why him and Josh Sanders bump heads is because Josh was trying to run his own style. Huh? Hello?
I can keep going.
Hello?
He said Cutler will be fine.
That's what I'm saying. Cutler will be fine. That's my end of comment. It'll be good.
All right. Hold on. Let me put you on hold here. Let me put James on. And
hold
me
up.
Yo.
Hey, James. What's up?
Yeah, I guess Tech says the Bears are who we thought they were then.
Do I really care about the Bears, to be honest with you?
I know you don't care about the Bears, Claus, and I'm playing, unfortunately, I don't.
No, we know
I care about them.
I know you care about him, Shatown. I mean, you're my boy, so we're going to talk about him. Hello?
Go ahead.
No, I mean, what you had to say, James?
No, I'm saying it's circumstantial. I mean, Jay Cutler just has to stay on the field and stay healthy. I mean, if he stays healthy, I mean, they're a pretty good team. But, you know, once he's been hurt, that pretty much, you know, shoots down the Bears' chances of contending for, you know, the playoffs or the Super Bowl. And that's pretty much it on that.
I don't think it's Philadelphia, though. I mean, like I said, is Jay Cutler the guy who can take them to win a Super Bowl? And my answer is no.
I am a no.
Offense is, I mean, doing what it can do. I mean, it's our defense. We got a lousy defense, man. Our defense
is
down
for
right now.
I mean, come on.
Look,
the Bears made the
look,
Super Bowl with who it was, Rex Grossman as quarterback. I mean, come on, man. Rex Grossman, son?
And they got whooped. That's the point. It's winning the Super Bowl.
We didn't get
not
whooped.
Just going.
29-17.
You got
that's
whooped.
Getting whooped.
We didn't. No, we didn't. It was 29-17.
That's getting whooped.
29-17. No, it's not, man. Cut Mike some slack, y'all.
Wasn't one of those touchdowns from a return from Hester, too?
When Greg Grossman threw that interception to Calvin Hayden, that was pretty much the game. But the Colts didn't whoop our ass.
My goodness.
Oh, so the quarterback has something to do with you guys losing. Okay. And the point you're trying to prove
is 29-17. Yeah, we lost 29-17. Greg Grossman threw a damn interception. He fucked up in that Super Bowl.
Okay, you got whooped.
Look at that. Now you're getting emotional. 17. Now, getting emotional.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They
didn't
beat us. They beat us.
Y'all got whooped.
No, all right, man. Hey, really, Eddie, this is not really something to draw along over, you know. I mean, it is what it is. It happened in the past. We got some other topics to get into, but, you know, it's the Bears. You know, I don't think that Cutler's the guy. That's me personally. But, hey, he'll get another shot, you know what I'm saying? He gets as long as he can. And, like, some people like Josh Freeman or RG3, they talking about getting RG3 out of here. So, you know, it is what it is.
They talking about your 4-yard Manning too, so you need to stay tuned about your Giants.
But I mean, he leads the league in interceptions, man, didn't he? I think he does. They ain't getting rid of Eli. But anyway, let's go to the let's move on to the what is this? The Saints wide receivers? What is this? Hold on, my bad. What's your reaction to? I got a question. Do you guys think that Carolina will win the NFC South?
I still think it's the Saints.
It's the Saints, you think? So I think they play the Saints this coming weekend, right?
They sure
do. Sunday night.
Sunday night. So what's your take on that game coming up?
I still have the Saints. When they're at home, to me, the Saints, the Broncos, and the Seahawks have an edge at home like no other team. The Saints got handed to them up there in Seattle. I still think the NFC South is theirs, though. I know Newton is hot. You know, everybody is in love with Cam, but I have to go with Drew Brees until he retires, or until the Saints just show a complete fall off as a team. You know, I have to go with them. I have to.
All right. James, I got to put you on. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to bring Matt in real quick so you can talk.
Hello.
All right. What you got to say? Okay, shut down.
I mean, seeing how the Saints, I mean, still, hey, it's right now, it's about to be around that crunch time. Season's pretty much almost at the end. I mean, right now, it's still more football. Some still a little bit more football level. I wouldn't put it all right there, but it's going to be a battle between those two. We'll see on Sunday night.
That'll you know, and I just want to add, you know, we kind of talked about it. I think we were on CMT page talking about it. Or we were on something to talk about Russell Wilson. You know, in that game versus the Saints, I mean, Russell Wilson's a bad man, boy. I mean, the Saints, like I said, I mean, the Saints are a good team, but, you know, look what he did. You know, I mean, that dude's a bad man. You know, and like I said, you know, we're saying we didn't want to put him in the MVP talk, you know, but, I mean, like I say, the Saints, I mean, the Seahawks don't even have a true number one receiver, you know, and Wilson's balling, you know. I mean, we could look at Marshawn Lynch, you know, and like I say, you know, he rejuvenated Lynch's career kind of, you know, I mean, Lynch, you know, like I say, Lynch wasn't even starting in Buffalo, you know, I mean, he had the talent too, but, you know, he had, you know, stuff going on. I don't think we can take nothing away from Russell Wilson here, you know, with this, you know, I mean, with, you know, with the Saints, you know, how good they're doing. I mean, this is a below 500 team without him. I mean, with the Seahawks doing, it's a below 500 team without him. I don't, he's not as valuable as a Drew Brees or Peyton Manning, but he's damn near right there, you know. I mean, he has all the ability in the world, you know, and
I think he's valuable in a way, but I kind of see what Tex was saying. I mean, the Seahawks defense is one of the top defenses. That defense pretty much set the tone of that game. How they
they put 34 points on these. I mean, like I said, I can't take nothing away from Wilson, no matter what anybody else on that Seahawks team does. Because like I said, who's their number one receiver? Doug Baldwin, really? You know, I mean, like I said, I can't. You know, I mean. He's not MVP. He's not Manning, Breeze, you know, Rodgers MVP type yet. But I mean, he's down there right there. It's gonna be him and Luck. You know, they're gonna be right there. You know, yes, Luck is everything you want in a quarterback. But you know, 2 inches shorter, and you got Russell Wilson who's right there, and who I believe can do the same thing.
And Mike, I know I was saying about your boy Big Kev saying about he taking bets on the Penguins. I think Seattle's gonna beat y'all down. I think they're gonna beat y'all down really good. I'm sorry to say, Mike, I told you, Seattle got y'all, man. So I don't think they're gonna lose another game.
Mike, you think the Seahawks can beat the you think they can beat the Bears right now?
I mean, see how they beat New Orleans like that, yeah.
No.
I said the Seahawks can beat the Bears.
All right,
hold on, Matt. Let's
are you sure?
The Seahawks beat your Cowboys?
Are you sure? No, because, see, objectivity is not a problem with me. I know Dallas ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, you did saying that. Yeah, you said you knew they weren't going nowhere.
I know the Giants ain't going nowhere. I thought they were winning the division, but they sure enough ain't going nowhere. I know that's
the problem. What's going on in New York?
All right, Matt.
I think offensive line and a running back.
Hold up, Matt. You on?
I'm here.
Okay, man. We waiting on you. You got something to say?
Yeah, I always got something to say. Come on. Who are you talking to? I always got something to say. What do you want me to comment on, the Bears?
We all over the place, so whatever.
I think
that whole division is a wreck, and the Lions are taking advantage of everybody playing their second and third string. I mean, anybody other than the Lions shouldn't make it into the playoffs. Really, they shouldn't. Teams are horrible right now. I mean, the Bears are just horrible because they don't have a quarterback. Their defense is all hurt, you know, and
but
I don't think the coaching situation is that great.
But I was going to say the last game. McCown did throw for 300-some yards, though, in that game, or close to 300-some yards. I mean, he did his part.
Well, good thing if he's on your fantasy team. But if he's not on your fantasy team, I guess it really doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah. Let's move on to a subject that Tex came up with. The Saints wide receivers, Kansas City secondary, Cardinals defense, and the 49ers run game. All these teams have been struggling. I mean, all those units have been struggling. Is this struggle going to be temporary, or is this a real struggle? What do you guys?
Whatever the 49ers, that's temporary. They're going to be back here. That's why I'm with Crabtree coming back and Gore starting to get more in line. They're just
I think Gore made a comment that he's feeling really healthy. You know, for one of the first times this year. So I think maybe he wasn't playing fully healthy. Let me ask you this question, Matt. Speaking of Gore, how many miles do you think he has left on those legs, man? I think the fact that he's made it this far is amazing, you know, considering all the injuries he's had. How much farther do you think this guy can go?
I think Garrison Hurst is surprised he's made it that long. I'm not going to lie. I actually have a Garrison Hurst jersey, too.
Here's the thing. I can't gauge the 49ers run game like that. I think they need to get Upati back. And these past, since Upati went down, I mean, Gore's been, 40, he's been scoring, he's been getting in the end zone, but he's averaging like 40, he's not even into the passing game, and he's been averaging like 40 yards per contest. I think they need to get their O-line back healthy again because they're a different team when they have that O-line in there, when they have all them guys in there and they pushing folks off the ball. So I think the struggle is temporary for the 49ers as long as they can get Upati and I forget who else is out, and the other guy back. As far as the Cardinals is concerned, they got to figure out how to cover the seam. As great as Tyrann Mathieu has been,
Hey, I mean, his size is just a problem versus these tight ends. He's so small. But even then, the Cardinals linebackers, you know, this is a, you know, excellent against the run. This is a problem for them in coverage. It surprises me with Darrell Washington and Carlos Dansby. But they have issues covering people. Kansas City they give up too many big plays. Everybody was so in love with their defense when we really had to be in love with the pass rush. They give up a lot of yards per carry anyway, and they were at one time they were like 22nd against the run. They give up tons of big plays though in the air, and you know, with that quarterback that's limited, you can't give up that kind of mileage in the passing game. What else was on there, Mike? What else was on that list?
It was
Saints wide receivers.
Yeah,
their wide receiver group might be a little overrated. I think, Breeze is a great quarterback. It's just sometimes they can't seem to get open. Colston and the other guys, this is probably – this is one of these things where the Saints like to get guys that fit into the system. You know, they always want to try to find a matchup. So it's not about getting the best players. It's more about getting the guys that can fill a role, which is fine. Which is because you have Jimmy Graham, you have Drew Brees, you have Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas, all fits. But these Saints wide receivers, man, they really underwhelm. Even when Breeze is clicking, sometimes they underwhelm. They cut in and they cut out. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't help Graham a ton. It doesn't help Sproles underneath a ton. So they need to get. I think that struggle right there is real, and I think it's been real for a while. I think Colston is an excellent wide receiver, but I think he's more valuable to the Saints than he is to anybody else. But these guys need to start showing up and helping out, because you got a lot on Breeze and Graham right now.
Yeah, I feel you on that, Tex. I never really was too, other than Colston, which he do his thing. I'm not really sold on the other receivers as well with the Saints.
Well, Colston ain't
doing
that
either.
Stills does, but at best, what kind of playmaker is he at best? And Mike, even Colston, Colston is, he's not doing anything right now.
I know I have to kind of overpay him because I'm kind of glad that we didn't get him because remember the time.
Well, that's the
thing.
He was
a free agent, and then the money they had to kind of overpay him.
The thing about Colston is he's never really been a deep threat kind of receiver, but he's good in the red zone, and he got good hands, and he's big,
Yeah.
I mean, it's a couple of things you can't really teach is size.
Yeah.
And he has a nose for touchdowns, and he can get in that red zone. He's never been, the down the field guy. Meacham before he left,
yeah,
kind of started turning into that guy. And he really regressed when he got to San Diego.
Yeah.
He back
yeah.
He didn't even make it to San Diego.
And again, Colston is valuable to the Saints. He's more valuable to the Saints than he would be with most other ball clubs, outside of somebody like New England.
Yeah, but, like I said, I see the potential for Kenny Stills. I don't know if he has the hands that I'd like for, a kind of, that I think needs to play with the
Drew Brees kind of receiver. I'm kind of sure of his hands. He has a good athleticism. But like I said, I don't know. My judgment is going to be out on whether their struggles are permanent or temporary. With the Niners, with their running game, I'm going to say I think it's temporary. Like I said, I think once Gore gets healthy, they're going to be able to get it going again. I would have liked to see Kendall Hunter and Michael James pick up the slack a little bit more. James has been saying that he wanted more opportunities this year, and it doesn't look like he's capitalized on them. So, like I said, I think when Gore gets back, it's going to be different, though. With the Cardinals, their defense, like I said, I agree with Tex, with Matt Thal, being undersized. I think they're going to be temporary, though. I think they're going to find a way to work around things. With KC, I've kind of been concerned about, besides the pass rush, which has been excellent this year, now that you had Ali get injured, they kind of got exposed, but him and Houston, they're about as best, about as good as pass rush as you can get in the league. And, but they definitely need somebody to stop the run. And the secondary, like I said, it's kind of getting exposed. Surprised by the play of Eric Berry. But like I said, I think that might be the most permanent thing. But like I said, it's only temporary. Just I think they could change personnel, and maybe get some new guys in there. Keep their same key guys, and then maybe just move some pieces around. But I think that's all of them. That's what I think about all those.
I was gonna say this, y'all. Y'all's opinion kind of changed a little bit. I mean, he played better. They lost though. It was close about Alex Smith. He did, he was able to score 28 points. You still think he could? He is what he is. It still kind of feel the same about.
I think it was just a flash. To me, it's just a flash. Where is this? All the other games.
Well, it's like I said before, I agree, he's limited, He's not, the dude's not a bad quarterback, but he's just, I could put him in the same class as I put Jay Cutler in. I don't think he's going to be the guy to win a Super Bowl without some other, extenuating circumstance of the defense, becoming the Baltimore Ravens or the Bucks overnight. I used to make the same excuse for him, with the offensive coordinator changing. But after a while, it is what he is, And like I said, that's why I had an insight on the Cutler thing. Like I said, no matter how many coordinators he changed, it's no excuse for subpar play. So, after a while, you're just going to be like, okay, that's what this dude is. He might be a stopgap until he can get our next guy. Like I said, he's not. I don't think he's going to hurt them. He's not that guy that's going to. Now you got to. We're in the age of elite quarterback now. And he's not going to become that. So, a couple of guys that I don't think are going to become that. I'm keeping an eye on Matt Stafford right now. I'm wondering, how much longer he's going to get to play out with Calvin Johnson or what he would be without Calvin Johnson. So,
I was fixing to say, Stafford's thing is he needs to stick to his fundamentals. He needs to play like a quarterback is supposed to play. What he does comes effortlessly. I've been watching him since high school. Supremely talented. He doesn't even look like he's trying out there. He needs to clean it up and become consistent with his fundamentals. That's Stafford's problem right there.
Well, see, think about this, though. Think about how much did Calvin Johnson cover that up. If Stafford were on a different team, he would have been exposed by now, You know what I mean?
But also,
you don't have really much – other than having Reggie Bush this year, they still really didn't have – Jalen Bass couldn't stay healthy. He still really didn't have a running attack to go with him as well.
They've been putting together a decent running game. You're not always going to have Barry Sanders in Detroit. Reggie Bush has been playing excellent this year. and rushing, he's been playing excellent this year. You know, he's really, like I said, he might be playing better now than he's ever been playing, to tell you the truth. So you're not always gonna have, Walter Payton or, somebody back there like that, But like I said, I mean, Stafford, he has to step it up. I think, I think Calvin Johnson, he covers up a lot of his mistakes, and makes him look, a lot better than what he is. And I think, maybe if Johnson goes down on an injury, I think people are going to start, I think people should already be looking at him right now, but the general public's not looking at it. But, I mean, it's something he's going to have to work on. He's coming into, his fourth year now? So, it's time for him to either take that next step or regress,
And I also think Johnson is an MVP candidate, too. Indispensable player.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough to put a wide receiver in that role, too. But if there's any wide receiver you put there, it is Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Also, again, he did what he did for my team. I mean, Adrian Peterson, of course, his name is going to be, probably mentioning that again, possibly. Because, with Minnesota, he's pretty much doing
Mike,
everything.
Why we always got to make it about the Bears, Mike?
The Bears.
I just mentioned the man's name, because he just went in the 10,000 plateau, 10,000 yards rushing now. One of the other youngest running backs to do it to reach 10,000, so had to mention it.
Okay. Yeah. That's like I said about Frank Gore too. If Frank Gore can stay up, he might crack 10,000 this season too. I think he's like up around.
All right, let's move the story here. Our time's really up, but I kind of wanted to go into this topic for it to be our last topic. It's going back to college, and I'm gonna bring everybody on for this one. We're talking about Winston. So, I mean, what's your take's gonna happen tomorrow? Let me start with Callie Mike. What's your take that's gonna happen tomorrow? Like, what do you think's gonna happen?
I don't know. From some places that I've read, they had a guy on Yahoo, I guess, who works with this. He used to work with this prosecutor, this thinking about prosecuting the case. And he says that the way things are looking, they're betting on him not pressing charges just because he's the fact that he's holding the press conference, which I agree to. It's like, why would you hold a press conference to indict him? You know what I mean? It was like, that'd be pretty shitty. Like, just go ahead and arrest him for it. And I'm like, why didn't you do it today? So I think they said, he said in the 25 years that he's worked with this guy, he's never done anything like that. So, but I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it's sexual abuse. So, I mean, you don't want to throw it away. Technically, I think that you have to investigate all these cases. You have to investigate all of them to the honesty of your ability. If nothing pans out, I think they should release their findings, though, and release everything that they found. So, that way, I don't want to, in other words, the actions for his career, these things usually do. Even if a guy gets off, they usually haunt his career, and I don't want this to haunt this dude. So I want him to release everything. That way people can know either way without a shadow of a doubt if it did happen or if it didn't happen.
And one thing is that I read is that his lawyer wants him to call a presser, and I hope he doesn't. Keep your head down and stay getting ready.
Yeah, go about your
game. For your game. His lawyer wants him to call a presser. I didn't like that. I hope the young man just keeps his head in his book and just continues to go about his business of getting prepared, playing football, and just being a student. Don't do the whole press conference thing.
That might be something. Yeah, I would say this. Hopefully, one of those, lessons, man. You definitely got to be careful. You're in the spotlight now. You definitely got to be careful on everything you do, and you got to be careful. Like Tony, I got favorite friend Tony said on girls, man. He said before all this came out, you need to watch them girls. Be careful.
All right. James, what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, we pretty much, talked about it last week, man. I think the real thing is that
you know, if anything else came forward with this whole thing, then the woman that would have pressed charges would have basically outed everybody else that was in the group. Because, as I said, he was basically a groupie, and that whole groupie is part of a team, and if you mess up within that team, then everybody goes down along with her.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to mess up their potential gravy train, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she pretty much had to get out of Dodge, number one. But number two, like Tech said last week, it's like, I don't see why, you know, Winston would hang out with her, man. That girl that went over in Texas, man. I mean, like you said, have you seen that too?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. She is bad. She is bad.
She is.
I mean, like that basketball player in Kentucky and I forgot her name over in Kentucky, but, you know, everybody was talking about Skylar Diggins in Notre Dame, but this chick here was like that other girl in Kentucky, though. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I think
it was a case of Mrs. Right versus Mrs. Right Now, you know.
Yeah.
That other chick was there right now, you know, like, if, you know. If that's his girlfriend, she needs to take her. She needs to transfer to Florida State, man. Shit.
And you know what? Let's just be honest. Ain't nothing like that new cut up. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Is that old?
Gosh. Yeah. All right, man. This is a family show,
young.
Yo.
Especially when you're young. You know?
Yeah. It's a family show. All right, Matt, what's your take on this?
What's up?
What's your take on this, Matt?
I forgot what we were talking about.
The Winston situation.
James Davis and Winston's verdict supposed to be tomorrow.
It will be up tonight. It will be up tonight on the website.
James Winston's going to win a Heisman, and it's going to win, if they play LSU, it's going to win a national title.
So you don't think he's going to get charged?
I don't think they have enough to charge him.
I mean, I want to say no. I mean, I don't think they have enough to charge him too, you know. But when you deal with public pressure, you deal with political stuff, I'm hoping it's no. I'm hoping to God, I want to say no based off the research that I have. But just knowing the history of this criminal justice system, I'm not gonna have to hold my refrain. I'm not gonna say yes, but I'm leaning towards no, but I can't make a decision yet.
I'm gonna say no because if they charge him and they do not convict him, now he has grounds for a civil lawsuit against the state saying that they stopped him and prevented him from playing, which his career is finite in college. And they stopped him from winning a Heisman, which is obviously the highest award in college football. And then on top of that, he has a civil lawsuit against the EK and her family.
That's the one.
For
right
alleging
there.
These things and for alleging all this stuff against him. So you see, not to say that he would sue them, but there's just so much allegation. And it's saying, oh, we found DNA evidence. He's like, yeah, cool, here, it's my DNA. The sex was consensual, okay? And then she's like, well, no, it wasn't. I didn't know him before that. Oh, wait, no, you did know him before that, and we have pictures of it, and also your blood tox screen shows that you were not intoxicated that night. So, okay. All I have bruises on my arms. Okay, here's this, and here's an alibi showing this. You know, let's
yeah, but you don't think they come up with
it. Let's interview her friend, her best friend, his roommate, and let's find out what they're saying. Wow, their story really backs up him. Okay, so I'm just saying it seems like charging him would be a shot in the dark. I mean, at least with the Zimmerman trial, he's like, hey, yeah, I shot him in self-defense. Here are my wounds. But it's only those two, and he shot him. It's a grown man fighting a child. and you decided to shoot him? You can't fight a child? Is that what you're saying? You're letting a teenager beat you up? But see, that's a different story. So with Jameis Winston, the evidence are there, and all the evidence they have could already be accounted for. I mean, if you take this to a jury, there is reasonable doubt all over the place. And he has to be convicted beyond a reasonable doubt. And if you do not convict him beyond a reasonable doubt, you have all this money that you're going to probably have to pay out in lawsuits for ruining his college career.
Mm-hmm. One thing I have noticed, that's the main thing. If I notice anything about Florida, is that they have the most unreasonable juries in history.
Well, let's hope so, man. I hope so. We'll see. I think they already have their lies and their counter arguments ready. They probably already thought the same stuff that you're saying, Matt. So I'm just hoping to find other stuff
like him shooting, you know, lewd conduct with him shooting BB guns and stealing soda and ridiculous stuff like that.
Who actually calls the cops saying
somebody stealing soda from Taco Bell? I mean, who does that?
If it's Jameis Winston. what do you guys think about the process of automatic suspension if you're brought up on charges of a felony? I mean, doesn't that kind of go against the whole innocent until proven guilty?
Well, yeah, but with they're charging him, that means that he is – it'd be like in the NFL, conduct detrimental. So it's essentially saying, hey, listen, you were caught or you're in suspicion of doing something that violates team rules. And because it's at a felony level, we're going to have to dismiss you from the team for now. But with Florida State, there are provisions in extenuating circumstances where even if he gets charged, they don't necessarily have to suspend him. There are technicalities in the bylaws of the rules for the state.
Oh, yeah. I know that. Ask Peter Warwick. He knows all about that. If you're good, they don't suspend you at Florida State. They can help it.
Exactly. You know, if you're gonna win us a national title and bring Heisman here, we'll figure it out. If not,
yeah, we'll put it on somebody else, like Laverne Scholes.
Yeah,
there you go. Sounds like a plan.
Well,
still,
all right.
Like that. I will come back to hunt you though. All right.
I'm done. I don't really have anything else to say.
I was going to say, what do you all think about the Mike Tomlin, him being fined $100,000 and possibly Steelers losing a draft pick? I think it's spot on.
They're not. They haven't decided on the pick, Mike. They're waiting until the season is over and draft order is established.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee that's what they'll do. I don't think it's grassy knoll type situation like everybody's trying to make it out to be.
Grassy knoll.
I haven't even looked at it. Is he clearly doing? I haven't even looked at it. Really, tell you the truth.
What he's doing is he's looking at the big board. You know, like most coaches look at. Jacoby Jones. And by the way, I'm tired of Jacoby Jones. He can go on NFL Network and keep dancing like they want him to. So, and I'm getting sick of him. I'm getting sick of this dude. go do that dance you do, man.
Is he like Stephen A. Smith type of dancing?
Yeah, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm
going.
I know you're going, man. You know where I'm going, dog.
Yeah.
But Tomlin was looking at the big board like most coaches do. Jacoby Jones is about to get fetched. He stepped away. You know, he turned around. You know, I don't know exactly what to make of it. But again, this is not, you know, this ain't Deep Throat or Watergate.
you know, there's, you know, there's no Zapruder film on this.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
You know, I think the one thing that really applies to this, and I stopped to think about when I saw it, you know, I didn't take a page out of Ludacris's.
I was going to say, I thought the fine was kind of, if he was going to get fined, maybe be $5,000 or most $25,000, but I think $100,000 was kind of a bit too harsh.
Yeah, I think it was too harsh for that, too.
They're going a little bit too far on it.
Yeah, he went too far for that one. But I mean, I don't know, man.
He's on the, I don't think it was intended. I mean, like the text was saying, he was just looking at the scoreboard, and the guy was right there, and he got his wife.
He's on the competition committee, and that week they just sent out an email to him saying, hey, listen, you can't be on the white, and you definitely can't be on the field. You got to move, bitch. Get out the way. And he didn't. He was standing in the white. His foot was on the field. I mean, if they wanted to flag him for too many men on the field, they could have flagged him for that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if he actually, like I said, I haven't seen it, but if he actually had an impact on the game, I don't even think $100,000 would be enough. I mean, like I say, I mean, that's, you know, that's interference with the actual game, you know what I mean? But,
yeah,
like I said,
but
I haven't seen it yet, so I'll reserve judgment.
Because the Ravens
right.
won.
Hey, Matt, Mike, you got to close out, man.
Yeah.
I gotta go. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, all right,
you guys,
let's,
I got to get
wrap
out.
Up. Let's wrap up anyway.
What's that?
Okay.
Well, I got it up,
man.
Finish
up what
you're
saying.
So I got the soundboard up.
Okay. Yeah, you can shut it down. I got to go. All right. You guys have a good one.
All right.
All right, what were you saying, Matt?
I mean, if the Ravens win the game, then it's a little bit different story. Then, you know.
All right, Jagmo.
If they don't, if the Ravens don't win the game, then it's a little bit different story. Now you're saying, oh, you know, that could have been a touchdown and that could have won us the game, but they won the game otherwise. So there, that's why you know you're not. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Okay.
What's that?
Somebody tell Clausel he got to hang his phone up.
The truth.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this.
Got to hang his phone up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the thing I see on the ticker on ESPN. They said Jameis Winston's named ACC Player of the Year.
Yeah, he was. Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be a no-brainer. I was gonna be a big no brainer. Like I say, he's, you know, I mean, but yeah. By the way, I don't even know if you say if he's gonna win the Heisman, but yeah, he's definitely gonna win the Heisman this year too. By the way, I don't think there's anybody else really in contention, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, cause think about it. If you're voting for a Heisman, and obviously Jameis Winston's the clear favorite. I mean. I think the next best actual college football player this year is Johnny Manziel, but he's been questionable in too many games. There's too much reasonable doubt there for him. So that's why he's been bumped back to five in most of the polls. But now it's kind of a bunch of running backs that's been doing decent, a quarterback that, again, is a running back that's doing decent, and then some other cats here and there. So...
You think,
it's really the guys behind Winston and Manziel, really, people are spending more time right now trying to learn who they are rather than voting on, you know, who's the best player.
You mean you're not a fan of Jordan Lynch?
I wouldn't take Jordan Lynch as a Heisman.
Yeah, no, me neither.
No.
But he deserves an invite, though. He might could get invited, though.
Who's
I would say
Jordan
this,
Lynch?
Though. He's running, I think he's a running back or running
no,
back
I,
out of Northern.
Yeah, I know who he is. I know who he is, but who is he?
Northern Illinois.
I mean, like I said, chances are, I think top 15, they make a BCS bowl, right? So I think they're in their BCS bowl last year.
Well, that is if Fresno State slips up. Fresno State has to slip up in order for Northern Illinois to get in there.
Well, Fresno State already lost. They lost.
So they got a good chance because Northern's still undefeated.
Yeah, Fresno State lost. Big
yeah,
time.
But anyway, guys, hey, I got to step away too. I don't know, Matt. You're in the studio right now.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't know if I get off will it shut down, but I got to step away. So I'll let you guys out next week.
And I gotta get out of here too. So I'll see y'all.
I guess.